chapter number 6, verse number 9. The gospel according to Matthew, chapter number 6, verse number 9. While you're turning there, I want to say how delighted I am to see Brother Todd Sloggett in the house of the Lord with us tonight. Appreciate Brother Sloggett and the ministry. Ministry. I read a quote the other day, and it just tugged my heart so much. I wrote it down. I filed it. It said, it's possible to be a success in Christian work and a failure in Christian ministry. You know, you can have the big names and the glaring and all those things and still not have a heart for what you... Oh, my. And I just began to think about hearts, even in this church, that they're not in it just for Christian work. They're in it for Christian ministry. There's a world of difference in that. Oh, I began to say, God, do that in my heart. Do that in my heart. He can do it in yours. Amen. You have your Bibles there, I believe that you do. Matthew 6, verse number 9. Would you simply say amen and stand for the reading of God's word when you get there? After this manner, therefore pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy will be done, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, verse 12. And forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Verse 14. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Oh, listen, beloved. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Now please say that one more time for emphasis this evening. If ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Very simply put, an unforgiving heart is unforgivable. I want to speak to us tonight, if the Lord had helped me, if the Holy Ghost would anoint me, I want to speak to us tonight on there's freedom in forgiveness. There's freedom in forgiveness. Would you be so kind to slip up your hand to heaven and help me pray one more time that God would just have his way in this house tonight? I thank you, God. I thank you for this church. Oh, God, I thank you, God, for these hearts. I thank you, soul. I thank you, Lord God, that souls have come to seek your face, to call on the Lord, God, to allow God's word to find a lodging place in their spirit. I pray in the name of Jesus that you'd anoint every word spoken and said and meet us around these altars tonight. And for this, I give you the glory. I give you the honor and the praise in the lovely, holy name of Jesus, we pray. And everyone said amen. You may be seated in the house of the Lord this evening. Beloved, hear me this evening. When you forgive another, you set a prisoner free, only to find out that prisoner was yourself. Say amen, somebody. There are two great plights that come against the human soul. Number one, guilt, and number two, bitterness. And the amazing scripture that we read tonight deals with both. It deals with guilt and bitterness. Father, forgive us of our debts. That's the guilt. Even as we forgive those that have trespassed against us, that's the bitterness. And that's what God wants in your life. For you to have freedom from the guilt of sin. For you to be set free from sin. And for you to have freedom from the bitterness of what somebody's done against you. Amen. Now, I want to remind you tonight, friend, when you forgive another, you pay that debt. Unless you, before you say, well, Brother Estes, I shouldn't have to pay anybody else's debt. I want to remind you of Calvary, friend. Somebody had to pay your debt. Now, if I owe, say I owe Brother Luke $1,000, and I came to Brother Luke and I said, "Now, Brother Luke, I'm sorry. You know that $1,000 that I owe you? Would you please forgive me of that debt?" And he looks back at me and he says, "Oh, okay, Brother Zane, I forgive you of that debt. Now, can I tell you something? He now has to pay that $1,000. There's no such thing as a free meal. Somebody's got to pay for that thing. And when you truly forgive another, that may just mean you have to take the low road. That may just mean you don't get the last word. But friend, hear me. We're not in it to get the last word. And we're not in it to take the high road. We're here to be like the Lord. And let me ask you a question tonight, friend. When could you be more like Jesus than when you forgive?" Now, the problem that some people have with forgiveness is this: they try to conflate these two things and they don't mix. But that's just, if I forgive, that means I'm saying they're right. Wrong. When you forgive another, you're not telling them what you did was right. When you forgive another, you're not telling them, "I hope it happens to somebody else." When you forgive another, you're not telling them that everything's okay with what you have done. When you forgive another, what you are saying is this: I refuse to live in the prison of pain for what somebody else did to my life. It's a hard thing to describe, but beloved, when you are holding on to bitterness, when you are holding on to resentment, you will literally pay the time for another man's crime, and that's not what God desires. Unforgiveness, friend, it disgraces the Father. Now, there again, yours are angels, mine are illustrations sometimes. But I don't know why this is like this. And you parents have got everything figured out. Please talk to me after service. But have your kids ever just acted wonderfully at the house? Every toy is shared. Everything is great, and all of a sudden you get this knock on the door, and this metamorphosis kind of comes over each child, and they go from these beautiful little children that are playing so wonderfully, and next thing you know, they become absolute little savages, and it's my toy and me first. And I mean, when nobody was there, it was fine, but then you look and you just kind of sheepishly smile. Well, you know, kids. Now, can I tell you, you can smile at that all you want, but as a father, because they bear your last name, doesn't that dishonor you? And how do you think it makes the Heavenly Father feel when people that claim to bear His last name would do the same exact thing? Help me, Holy Ghost. Friend, I believe it disgraces the Father. I believe it delights the devil. I believe it discourages the saints. It can literally have an effect on the service. When there's a squabble in that house on the way to the church, that can literally affect how husband and wife get in and worship God. It can hinder whether or not they respond to an altar call, or whether they're going to forgive. And sometimes, you're not always right. Hello? Sometimes you're not always right. I know what Brother Esther, I'm the exception to the rule. Okay, you probably are, but for the rest of us that live in a real world, you're not always right. Vicki, there was one time I looked at Sister Estes. I mean, I'd had it up to here, hell, and I know y'all don't ever have, but I said, "You know what you need? You need me to go take a nap. I just need to go lay down." I laid down, I took a nap, I got up, and I said, "I am sorry, I don't know what I was thinking. I'm sorry." Come on here, friend. Come on. Listen, there's just times you got to step back and take yourself out of the situation and say, "You know what? It may be my fault. I may be the one to." All I know is there's a world that changes when you're willing to forgive, and there are doors that are open when you're willing to let it go. I've seen lives ruined because they wouldn't forgive. Just held on to it. Why should I forgive, Brother Estes? I'm glad you asked. Let me talk to you tonight for a little bit here. I believe there are compelling reasons why we should forgive. Number one, I believe there's a grace factor that simply says this to you and me: you should forgive because you have been forgiven. Ephesians 4 and 32. If I was asked little Ashlyn tonight, could you say Ephesians 4 and 32? You ain't got to say it, but could you say it, honey? Sure you could. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. Come on, friend, that's what God's word said. Even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. You have been forgiven, therefore you should forgive. Well, but that's just, you don't know what they did to me. Hear me, beloved. You may have forgotten what you did to God's darling son. It was my sin that put him on the cross. It was your sin that put him on the cross. We were not good enough, and he was willing to forgive you. I think you ought to be willing to forgive another. Mr. Sam Jones, he was an evangelist of yesteryear, and he made this statement. I wrote it down. He said, I had a hard time forgiving people until I made up my mind I wasn't going to have a falling out with anyone until he treated me worse than I treated Jesus. I know it's getting tight already. Believe me, I told this preacher last night, I'd love to be able to walk in here and say, man, let's just swing from shouting from the chandeliers and all those things. But I'm telling you, there's somebody in this house tonight, and you've held on to it for a little too long, and it's affected your family, and it's affected how you got in and worship. It's affected your daily walk. It's time you turn it loose. It's time you say, nobody has ever treated me worse than I treated Jesus. And if he was willing to forgive me, and I gotta be willing to forgive another. Now, man, please don't ever let this get out, huh? Man, I mean, it'd be terrible if this was ever on the internet or something like that, right? Come on here. But there was a time in my life I was so mad at a man. I was so angry at that man that I lied on him. You say, you, Brother Zane? You seem like a halfway educated young man. I lied on him. But it gets worse, because that same man that I was so angry at, not only did I lie on him, I brought up false charges against him. You? Wait, he said, nobody have fallen. Please don't have fallen, will you? Not only did I do those awful things, you ain't gonna believe this, but I spit on that grown man. I was so mad at him. You, Brother Zane, yes. And not only did I do those things, I took a crown of thorns and I put it in that man's head, and then I put nails in that man. Come on, don't you back up on me, because that man I'm speaking about is the very Son of God. But not only did I do it, and you did it too. It wasn't Romans that put him there. It wasn't Jews that put him there. It was my sin. It was your sin. It was our sin. And I never met a man that I ever treated worse. And I never met a man that loved me any more than Jesus. He willingly forgave. He wanted to forgive. That's what I'm telling you. Come on. I know some of you have been lied on. I know some of you have been treated wrong. I know some of you have been treated dirty. But I'm telling you, there ain't a soul in this house that's been treated any worse than Jesus Christ. And if he was willing to forgive, I'm telling somebody tonight, it's time you put it on the altar. It's time you let it go. It's time you forgive. We should forgive, because I've been forgiven. I should forgive, because there's a guilt factor. And the guilt factor says simply this: if I don't forgive, I can't be forgiven. You got your Bibles? You got your Bibles? Look at verse number 12 again with me. Have you seen that scripture? Have you ever prayed that scripture? We call it the Lord's Prayer. Do you realize what a dangerous prayer that scripture is to pray? You realize how very dangerous that thing is? And forgive us of our, and forgive us our debt. And then there's one little bitty word in there, as. In other words, just like. In other words, mirror image. In other words, same thing, as we forgive our debtors. And what you are praying, when you pray that, you're saying, God, I give you every right to treat me just like I'm treating them. God, I give you the right. So I've heard them say, well, I forgive them, but I ain't never going to talk to them again. And God says, I forgive you, but saith God, I'll never talk to you again. I'll never deal with you again. Why won't God deal with me? I tell you why God won't talk to you, because you won't talk to them. I tell you why God won't answer your call, because every time they ever try to call you, you're not trying to answer them. It's time you let the wall down. It's time you break the wall down. It's time you say, Lord, I want to be forgiven. I want to hear your voice. I want to know your way. Let it go! Forgive me, God, and treat me just like I'm treating them. In the name of Jesus. Forgive me, God. Just like I'm. Hey, friend, some of you are wondering, why won't God speak to me? And God's telling you, because you refuse to speak to them. I realize there's sometimes you're busy, you can't stop and answer the phone call. That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about a heart issue that says when they walk on one side, you walk on the other. When you see them at Walmart on aisle 8, you make sure you go to aisle 9. And God's word says us tonight, you'll forgive your others, I'll forgive you the same way. Oh, God. Friend, there is a grief factor that says if I do not forgive, there will be personal harm that comes to my own life. I can't explain this. I can't understand this. But there is a spiritual trauma. There's a psychological trauma. There is a physical trauma that comes upon people who will not forgive. Help me, God. Help me, God. I feel the Holy Ghost in this house. I feel like I'm talking to somebody. I'm telling you, about 95% of most of that counseling is all because somebody won't let something go. Listen, friend, I told you at the own start, we are not saying what they did was right. We're not saying we ever want to see it happen to anybody else. We're not saying we ever want to see that done again. What we are saying is there's got to come a place where you get out of that prison and you get out of that cage and you start living life again because you forgave. But Tim, years ago, I was at a revival. I'm shaking hands for service. There's a man there. I ain't seen him all week. First and only time I saw him. Friday night, shake his hand. Say, hi, Zane Estes, how you doing? He looks at me and Brother Dickie, he says, Nichols is my name, Nichols. I said, good to meet you. Good to meet you, Brother Nichols. Good. And he goes on, he starts talking to me about it. I mean, he's in his 70s. I say early 70s. He starts talking to me about his mother. And he starts talking to me about how his dad was beating up on his mother. And now he had to rip his dad off of his mom. And the man breaks down and starts crying like a 5-year-old boy right there in that pew. Well, church starts, and it was very awkward, and I didn't really know how to deal with it. And I go sit down, and we start service. And after service was over, I come to the pastor. I said, sir, I said, I got one question for you. And you know me, I don't inquire therein. But I got one question. I met a man tonight, and his name is Nichols. That's as far as I got. He looked back at me. He said, Brother Zane, did he tell you about his mother? I said, yes. How did you know that, sir? He said, son, that's all he ever talks about. That happened when he was a 15-year-old boy. His daddy was a drunk and started beating up on his mom. And he finally got big enough where he took his dad and he ripped him off of his dad and started beating him up. Now listen, there ain't a soul in this house that says that man had a right to do that to that woman. But you say, well, Brother Estes, that happened 50 years ago. That didn't happen 50 years ago. Not for Mr. Nichols. It happens every single morning. It happens every single night. He lives it time and again. He lays his head on his pillow and the memories come back and he never lets it go. I'm telling you, there comes a place you gotta get delivered from it. I ain't saying what that man did was right. But neither is it right for you to have to relive it till the day you die. Oh, God. They can't function because they had a loved one break their heart. They can't function because they had a father figure break their heart. I was preaching inside of a prison one time. Some of the brothers from the church had a ministry there. And it was ladies in there. I began to tell them, I said, how many of you had a father that never showed you any love? And I mean, they put their heads down. Every last one of them women, tough, and tears started dripping off their face. I said, and some of you are bitter with God because you're bitter at your daddy. And some of you aren't. Oh, God. Friend, hear me. Bitterness is a slow suicide, but it will kill you. When you let that acid stay on the inside of your heart, that acid eats whatever container that holds it. And if it's inside your life, it'll eat you from the inside out. You'll never be able to function as God desired you to function. You'll never be able to move as God desired you to move. I believe there are compelling reasons. I believe there are costly requirements. Are you still with me tonight? Ephesians 4 and 32 again. Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. So Brother Estes, if I am to forgive, how am I to forgive? I believe you are to forgive just like the model, master, maker, mentor forgave, just like Jesus. We are to forgive freely. We're to forgive freely. No strings attached. Freely. There may be trust that's broken that we cannot regain overnight. That's not what we're talking about. We're not talking about trust. We're talking about forgiveness. Pastor, you know what I've seen with some folks? I say, you want me to forgive you? You want me to forgive you? Yeah. You want forgiveness, do you? That's here, take it. I forgive you. Okay. You've already ruined my name. I've had to pay for this. Aren't you glad Jesus didn't spread all your business up and down the roads of Tulsa? Aren't you glad what's under that blood ain't never going to be brought up again? Come on, don't look at me like that. Aren't you glad it's just over? Aren't you glad it's just gone? Aren't you glad he freely forgave you? Aren't you glad he didn't say, well, I tell you what, you don't know how deep you cut me. You don't know how mad you made me. I'm telling you what, I'm just going to let there be like a 6-month probation. That's what I'm going to do. He didn't do that. You imagine if we went to Jesus and said, oh God, forgive me. Forgive me. God said back to you, I had confidence in you. And you did this to me. I tell you what. I'm going to put you on a 6-month probation. And you better hope, God, you never die in those 6 months. Because if you do, you're going to go to hell like a bullet. And you give me some time to think this over. And that's not how he forgave you. And that's not how you should forgive them. Oh. Right there. He said, it's over. He said, it's settled. You've confessed it. You've forsaken it. Let it die. Can I just add this in for good measure? By the way, just because someone says something bad about you, nowhere in the Bible are you biblically required to say something evil about them. Come on. You're not. Just because they say it about you, don't mean you got to say it about them. Years ago, during that terrible war between the states, President Jefferson Davis was there with his top officers. Robert E. Lee was in that room, and there was another lieutenant in that room. And President Davis asked Mr. Lee, what do you think about so-and-so, high-ranking officer? And Mr. Lee stood up straight. He said, sir, he's courageous under battle. He's wise with his men. He's fast and sharp. And that lieutenant stopped him. He said, Mr. Lee, do you not realize the man you praise is your greatest critic? And you cannot but move without him using castigating words against you. And Mr. Lee looked back at that young lieutenant and said, sir, I fully am aware of this. But Mr. Davis asked what I thought of him, not what he thought of me. Oh, God. What do you think about Brother So-and-so? He's a hard worker. What do you think about so-and-so? He provides for his family, and that's a whole lot more than what we can say about a whole lot of them. Say amen. I'm just not going to get into it. They can make you, they can cut you, they can get you to the quick, and it's just not worth getting even. Well, you say, well, I'm going to get even with them. Well, if you're up here and they're down there and you get even, what have you done? We're to forgive freely. We're to forgive fully. You ever been around somebody who they forgave about halfway? They got close to forgiving, but it was never out of their hearts. It'll come up again. Oh, by the way, if you ever really want to know, have you really let it go? Here's a good question. You want to know if you've let it go? If you keep bringing it up, you haven't let it go. It keeps coming up. That's a sure enough sign. You never let it go. It keeps popping up. You never let it go. Now, let's time out here just a second, real quick. Because I've had people come to me before and they've said, no, Brother Estes, I have forgiven. And I feel like God has cleansed my heart with it. But every now and again, it pops up in my head. Does that mean I haven't forgiven them? Wait a second. When we speak about God forgiving and forgetting, understand this. I don't want to get too theological here, but understand this. When God forgets, the understanding is this, to hold it against you no longer. It's not as if God forgets if he had car keys or a cell phone. God doesn't forget like that. We forget like that. But that's not what it literally means is I hold it against you no more. So when you forgive, and every now and again it pops up in your head, that doesn't mean it's living down deep in your heart. You can say, I have forgiven them. And I'm not, it may come up in my mind, but that don't mean it's dwelling in my, I hold it against them no more. 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 It's like that one businessman, you heard about him. Secretary come up to him, she said, sir, she said, we have files everywhere. We've got files on dead people. We need to get rid of some of these files, sir. Boss said, okay, I'll tell you what. Shred every one of them. Just shred them all. But make sure I get a copy before you do it. And isn't that how some of us are? God, somewhere down hard, somewhere down deep, somewhere on the hard drive of that heart, you can pull back up 15 years ago. You can pull back up a birthday party he didn't attend. You can pull back up an arrogant word she said. You can come on here. There comes a time where you just shred it. You just let it go. You just leave it on an altar. You pick up the broken pieces and you move on for God. Shred it and delete it. I'm talking to you. You delete it, son. And just let it go. Let it go. Let it go. My brother asked us, I can't force someone to accept my forgiveness. That's exactly right. And neither does Jesus. He's the propitiation for the sins of the world. You know what that means? That means Jesus stands ready to forgive. And you know what you need to do? Even if they're not willing to accept forgiveness, you know what you need? You just need to stand ready to forgive. You can't force them, but you're willing to give it to them. I'm talking to somebody. You're standing ready. You're willing to forgive. You're standing ready. You're willing to forgive. And you say, well, Brother Estes, that's great. Jesus can do that, but I can't do that. Can I tell you something, friend? You're exactly right. You can't do that. You can't do that on your own. But can I give you a scripture, and I hope this helps somebody tonight. Philippians 2 and 12 and 13. I'll give you both of them. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, as ye have always obeyed, not in, as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Verse 13, somebody may need to write this down. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. In other words, it ain't some psychologist. It's you getting down and saying, I can't do that on my own. But please, God, live through me to will and to do. You put the desire. You put the dynamics, and I will obey. You put the desire. You put the dynamics, I will. I stood there with Brother Harvey Moore there in Budapest, Hungary. We looked across that area that they zoned off and called it the ghetto, where they crammed thousands upon thousands of Jewish men and women there, waiting for them to be transported to Auschwitz. More Hungarian Jews died than German Jews under Hitler's reign. I looked at that place. I thought how savage man could be to man. There was one German man, he spoke about that after the war had ended. He said that train tracks went right behind their church. He said they would take box carts full of Jews, and on Sunday morning, they said we could start hearing that train as it would slowly approach and go behind the church. And they asked him, they said, what did you do when you heard those screaming men and women? He He put his head down and he said, we simply sang louder. Oh God. Friend, I'm telling you, only God can forgive some things. Corrie Ten Boom, you remember the story, how her family helped try to hide those Nazis. Of course, they found them. They found them. And they threw her in a concentration camp along with her family, her sister. And Corrie Ten Boom said that there was one young guard, one young German guard, who was so cruel and would violate my sister so repeatedly. Until one night, by his brutal attack against her, he literally killed her. She said years later, she was preaching a message on forgiveness. And she said at the end of that service, she said, I looked and there was an older man standing in the back, but his eyes were so familiar. She said that man slowly walked down that pew and or that aisle. He looked up at me. When I looked at that face, how could I forget that young soldier who so tormented my baby sister? And she said he stopped right before the podium. And he lifted his hand and he said, Corrie, will you forgive me? Will you forgive me? And Corrie Ten Boom said, I did not want to. I did not think I could. She said, I only stretched out of my hand as maybe an act of obedience or reaction. She said, but when my hand touched his hand, she said, I felt God's love flow. And I'm talking to somebody in this house. You can't do it on your own. You can't go back 15, 17, 22, 55 years. But with God's help tonight, you can let it go. And forgive. And forgive. And forgive. Someone help me on this piano, please, tonight, whoever it may be. And I know, Pastor, I know most of our revivals end with one of these questions each night. Is there anything that God needs to forgive you over? And I'm for that if there's anybody that needs something to make right with God. But here's what I'm really feeling on my heart. Not so much does God need to forgive you. Here's my question. Do you need to forgive another? You can start anytime you'd like, Brother Burgess. Miss Loggett, years ago, I got dealing with something similar to this. It was a young lady. She was a Sunday school teacher of the little kids. And God convicted her heart one night of the bitterness that she had between her and her father. She said, we hadn't spoken years. She said, I got alone in that room. I looked at that cell phone. I punched that button. I called my daddy. And she told the church, she said to her daddy, she said, Dad, I don't know how it started, and I don't know where it began, but it's been too long. And I'm not here to get into the whose side and what side. I'm here to ask you, Dad, will you forgive me? And she said, my dad's a real strong man. He's got a strong voice. And she said, he's on the other end. And he took a moment. It was just a pause. And she said, a dad that's never really shown much of any emotion to her whatsoever. He said, I know you're hundreds of miles away from me right now. He said, but would you please do me a favor? And she said, yeah, Dad, what? He said, right where you are, would you just please just stretch out your arms and just pretend like I was right in front of you. And he said, honey, I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? And all I know is there are hundreds of miles. But God's Spirit brought them together. And it was He. There's freedom in forgiveness. There's freedom in forgiveness. With your heads bowed, your eyes closed, no one looking around, hearts open. Oh God. Is it really worth family memories? Is it really worth peace in that home? Is it really worth God's touch on your life? Is it really worth God's willingness to speak to you? I'm not saying what they'd done was right, but I'm saying tonight, you got to give it to God. You got to let it go. Brother Estes, there's been some things in my life. There's been some letdowns in my past. There's been some expectations that were never met and some dreams that have been broken. Some pains that have incurred. Some sorrows that I've endured. And I need God's help tonight to simply let it go. If that's you, I want you to slip up your hand to heaven and say, that's me, preacher. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. God bless you, ma'am. Thank you. Hands still go, thank you. Somebody else. You can't do it on your own. You don't look in the mirror 55 times and convince yourself, I can. No. This ain't. It's God that puts it in you. It's God that gives you the doubt. One more time, when the eyes of the Lord going to and fro, with His hand outreached. Is that it? Is that everybody needed to have their hands raised? Is that every last soul that just says, I need God's help to put that on the altar? Father, I thank you, God, for every hand that was raised. And I pray, God, for the hand that should be raised and yet was not. I pray, God, in your mercy, God, let them see the only way to restore, the only way to heal is to not dredge up the past, but to lay it at an altar. Breathe on them with mercy. Breathe on them with mercy. You raise your hand, you mean business with God. You raise your hand, there's a need in your life. I want you to slip out from where you're sitting right now. Come on, quickly. Come on, you raise your hand. Nobody's here to try to figure out what it is, what it may have been. That's not the point. Thank you. Can I tell you, as a preacher, I've had to face that bitter battle. As a preacher, I've been there. Where I didn't have it in my own strength to let it go, but God did. I want you to come. Come on. You raised your hand. There were those in the back that raised their hand. Come on, slip out. There you are. Go ahead, slip out. If you need to ask somebody to let you out, they'll let you out. If you'll just tap on them and say, I need to come, they'll let you out. They'll let you out. Come on. Come on, that's it. Don't back up. Let's. Knows just where you are.
this crowded room, like a ship stranded on an endless sea. Have you been wounded by someone, counted as a friend? A wound so deep that time would never mend. It can be a lonely place. Is there really a need to pray? Oh, let me say that He knows, He cares. Where you are, He's right there. He sees your heart. Gentle hand, friend, is love and touch.